Hello and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show. I'm Thomas Pardernick, as always, joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good, Pac. I'm doing good. I had a great weekend. You know, VTFL starts in 1 week. I would be in an even better mood if the Cowboys were to win tonight. You know, I'm chilling. It's been a good, solid week. Much better than the mood I was in last time we recorded this podcast.
I was going to say, I kind of wish the Cowboys played Monday Night Football every week, because I don't have to come in and hear you, whether it's you complaining or whether it's you saying that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm glad we're not recording on a Tuesday this week, and we're doing another Monday Night Football podcast. So yeah, if you are listening, we don't know what's happened because it hasn't happened yet. And by the time that this gets out, the game will be over. So we're not going to talk about any Cowboys or Chargers stuff tonight. We're going to talk about what just happened on Sunday. And for the first time this year, and for the only time really, the 72 Dolphins, they popped the bottle of champagne. We got no undefeated teams remaining in the NFL. The Eagles lost, the 49ers lost. Pretty crazy week for upsets. I mean, even the Panthers were up 14-0 on the Dolphins for about 5 seconds until they scored 35 unanswered points. Had to fit that in there. But yeah, no undefeated teams left. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, we said off air, it felt like it was a little, like, I felt like it was pretty quick for there to be no undefeated teams left, but then you kind of reminded me, I mean, it is week seven now. Well, week six still to be completed. There's one game left. But again, I personally felt like it was kind of a quick turnaround, I guess because you were expecting so many good teams, and it was like kind of crazy that, and just having Philadelphia last year, like they were 11 weeks undefeated. So that's probably why it feels a little bit quick. But yeah, talk about undefeated teams losing in like shocking fashion. Like, I don't think a single person picked the Browns to overcome the San Francisco 49ers, despite injury, and let alone the Jets to overcome the Eagles, despite being at home. I don't know which one was more shocking. But I don't know which one concerns me most, because I'm still sort of processing them. But if I were sort of fans of both, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd kind of be like, okay, like what the heck's going on?
I kind of disagree with you a little bit in that. We'll get to who you're sort of concerned about more in a second. But when you mentioned about like you felt it's a little early for, you know, no teams to be undefeated, I pulled up some history, and I want to quiz you a little bit.
Oh, damn. Quizzes.
See how many years back you can go, okay, and name the team.
I don't even remember what I had for dinner, and I had dinner 45 minutes ago.
So that was the last team standing undefeated. So obviously this year, it's the Eagles and the 49ers shared together.
Yeah.
That's one so far. How much longer can you keep going? Because I think this actually, it gets a little funny, if anything, as you go down.
Okay, so obviously the Eagles last year.
Yes, that's 2022. 2021.
2020.
No, 2021. You're skipping a year?
Oh, 2021. Oh, my God. We're already in 2023.
It's almost okay. 2024.
2021. 2021. That would have been...
I'll give you a hint. Keyword, I said that this is funny. That should jog the memory.
There was a team that started... Did they start undefeated and they went on like a crazy losing streak? Is that why it's funny?
Not really. I mean, they weren't too hot in the second half of the season. To me, it's just more so funny because I think they started 7-0, okay? So they're 7-0, and it was this like, this is the next best team. They got this duo, like this is the next best team in the NFL for the next 10 years, and where they're sitting now.
Oh, the Steelers.
No, not the Steelers, the Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals, that's right. The Steelers were the year before.
The Steelers were the year before.
Okay, so, yes. Okay, the Cardinals, that's right, because they had Kyler Murray and, oh my D-Hop, God, yeah, D-Hop. Yeah, it's Larry Fitzgerald.
Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury is sitting in that fancy house at the draft.
That's right.
Like, this is the next. They're That's the next right. up-and-coming team. They were 7-0.
Yes.
What are we, 3 years later?
Two years later. And they lost. They lost first game on Thursday Night
they
Football?
Was it like their first loss?
Their first loss. I think maybe against the Green Bay Packers.
It was 24-21. That's the Rasul Douglas game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I remember that game, but I can't remember the team. So yeah, I do remember that. So then the year before was the Steelers, which was 2020. So 2019 had to have been.
In 2019, it's two teams. This one, I don't even remember this. Do you want to hear who it is?
Sure.
The San Francisco 49ers and New England Patriots were both 8-0.
Okay, makes
sense. I don't remember the 49ers being like on this long.
Well, that's when they first got Jimmy Garoppolo, correct?
Was it? I mean, they went to the Super Bowl this year. So yeah. Yeah, I guess. It was like early in the Jimmy G years. The year before that was a team that also lost in the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Rams. They were also 8-0.
Yes, yes, the Rams
were
flying.
The year before that was the Chiefs. They were 5-0. The year before that, now it gets interesting, the Minnesota Vikings were 5-0, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember that. So so I was getting that confused with what you mentioned when you were saying it's funny, because I remember there was a team that started off, well, now I know that it was the Vikings, but I remember there was a team that started off hot, and they were like 5 or 6-0, and they ended up not making the playoffs. But
and hey, in 2014 and in 2010, the longest streak, we had 3-0 and 3-0. That's it.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, I guess it is. Course. I guess it is pretty fitting. I mean, it's usually around now when the first undefeated team, or when they're, I guess, all undefeated teams drop at least a game. But now going back to the topic, you mentioned, you gave me a little bit of pushback when I said that I'd be panicking just a little bit. I don't know if the word's panicked, but a little uneasy.
Well, I'm panicked for one team.
Yes, I am panicked for a team.
The other one, I think it's just a weird game, a little bit of weird weather. Brock Purdy, like, he's still so young. He's going to have some growing pains. Like, this is only, like, his 11th start in the
yeah,
NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
The Eagles, I think, where you kind of share the same feelings as me, maybe you are even a little bit more bullish on the fact that maybe they haven't looked so good this year. Like, especially the pass game. I don't know what it is. Jalen Hurts, sometimes I don't think he's making the right reads. Devontae Smith had a ton of terrible drops yesterday. Dallas Goedert really hasn't gotten going. They just don't seem to be as clinical as they were a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're being honest here, like, the Eagles, again, nobody expected them to replicate what they did last year, right? Like, that's unrealistic. If you were putting that expectations on them, that's setting yourself up for disappointment, right? I don't think it's nearly impossible to replicate exactly what they did last year.
11-0, right? That's crazy.
But did you expect them? I know, again, they're sitting at 5-1. So it's not like they're 2-3 or whatever. They're sitting 5-1, which the counter argument could be good teams find a way to win games despite not putting their best product or effort on the field, which is true. But like, they're 5-1 here, and I can pretty confidently say that I don't think they have put together a good half of football yet. And we're sitting through 6 weeks.
A good half or a good half. A good, like, full game?
A good half. A good half. I don't know.
So you don't think they've played well even like once all year in a single half?
The game against the Patriots, they didn't play good that at all. Like, not.
They had a good first quarter. They were 14, but they were at a pick six. Like, so that was week one.
Week two
was, I'm trying to remember here. I know the Commanders game was narrow. That was week four.
Week four, they played the Commanders.
Yeah.
Last game, again, was just very, like, you were watching that game, and sure, they were leading. Okay, yeah, no. Week two, they played good because they played the Bucs.
No, week two, they played the Vikings on Thursday Night Football, and they let them claw their way back.
Yes.
The game. Week three was Monday night against the
Bucs. So that was their good game.
But that even was, that was
it's it, the Bucs.
It was like, I think Hurts threw a couple picks. It was, yeah, one touch and two picks.
Again,
it was sloppy.
It's been sloppy. It's been very sloppy. They have not looked like the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. And I don't want to hear, again, I don't want to hear it's early. It's not early. It's not. Week six is almost done. Week seven, we're almost halfway done the season, which is crazy to think about. Teams are starting to get their bye weeks. That's when you know, like, the season, again, we're not in November yet, but we're sitting October 16th.
The trade deadline's in two weeks.
Like, we're halfway through the season here. So these takes are reasonable. And I don't want to sugarcoat it, but again, going back to expectations, Jalen Hurts last year played out of his mind. He was an MVP caliber quarterback. What he did last year was, again, not sustainable. He was not going to replicate exactly what he did last year. But I think we're seeing some regression here. Like, he turned the ball over. Last year, he was conservative with the ball. This year, he's really not doing that. He's thrown more picks this year through 6 weeks than he did all of last year. And just the offense, again, Devontae Smith hasn't been the guy that you expected him to be. A.J. Brown's a complete animal. I think A.J. Brown is the only positive part of this offense.
Outside of DeAndre Swift,
which, yes, he deserves his flowers. The offensive line's still solid, too, but you expect more from the quarterback position, in my opinion. If your team is going to go places, and again, they're 5-1, but they just haven't looked like a 5-1 team. It starts with the quarterback. And whether that's him trying to do too much, I think that's also part of it, because I think he's trying to just force the deep ball and force plays and try and make too many plays, as opposed to last year, he succeeded when he just took what the defense gave him and took his calculated shots. I don't necessarily see that this year. And again, their defense is banged up. They were playing without Darius Slay last night. It's been a very weird year. And if I had to pick which team I'm more concerned about, I'm definitely picking the Eagles.
I agree with you. I would pick the Eagles too. And I think you pinpoint all these, you know, all these holes where the offense hasn't looked as good as they were a year ago. And I think one of the biggest things that maybe isn't talked about enough is that the fact that they lost their offensive coordinator. And Shane Steichen has done some good things already in Indianapolis. So, yeah, like I said, you say it's not early, which I wouldn't say it's early, but at the same time, I could very well see them playing very meaningful football come down the stretch, and they've all figured it out, and we all just say, hey, remember when we were worried about this offense back in October? And then it all seems kind of silly to completely panic now.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I'm not completely writing this team off to the point where, like, oh, they're not a contender anymore. I still think they're a very good team. I just have my doubts now that they're the top team in the conference, or even the top two teams in the conference. Like the Lions, I think if they were to play tomorrow, the Lions would beat the Eagles.
The Lions are an absolute, like, I chose the wrong year.
Yeah.
I was a year too early on the podcast.
Which
Fox
we both
Lions.
Were, because and we were like,
maybe they're not that good, actually.
Yeah.
But see, not that they're not that good. We were just like, we need to see it first.
Yes, because it's like, this is a team that's never had the expectations that they were having.
And so we're seeing it right now.
But which is a fair take. Like, that's not us going in and saying, oh, the Lions aren't good. We're just saying, look, playing with expectations and playing with no expectations is like completely different things. Like, you're seeing it again, going back to the Eagles, you're seeing it now. I genuinely think last year, despite the Eagles being whatever the heck they were, 14-3 or whatever they ended up going, 15-2, I have no idea what they ended up going, but regardless, you go into the last year, at the beginning of the year, the Eagles didn't really have crazy high expectations. Like, they were going to be a solid team. They had just went to the postseason. They lost in the wild card round to the Bucks the previous year. So it's like, what are the expectations of this team? So, like, they didn't necessarily have crazy high expectations, and now they do, which is why, again, it's crazy to say this because they're sitting at 5-1. I get that. But if you watch the game and you're watching the Eagles, they just don't look like the Philadelphia Eagles from just a year ago.
I think that's completely fair, and I'd agree with that too, because I find myself after every Eagles game wanting more, or you're almost coming out of a win where you're like, we feel like we can do better than that.
Yeah,
and I think the product that they're putting forward on both sides of the ball, really, they haven't lived up to the talent that they have on that roster, because let's be honest, on paper, it's one of the best teams in the NFL,
absolutely.
And we saw them live up to that a year ago. That's why they came very, very close to making the Super Bowl. But we'll stick with the theme of panicking. And this week on our little rapid-fire game-type segment, we're going to go to the panic meter, something that we've done on our Instagram a whole lot, and people love to yell at us about it, so we figured why not bring it to the podcast this week. We got maybe 8 or 9 teams that we all feel are kind of in the panic category, and this is all relative to expectations. For example, the Cardinals, yeah, they only have one win. They're not on here just because, if anything, they've overachieved so far this year. So are we really panicking if we're Cardinals fans? If anything, you're panicking that you're going to miss out on the first overall pick at this point. But regardless, we're going to fly through them, and there's 4 different categories. There's you're chilling, or you're, as Aaron Rodgers says, relax, which means there's no need to panic at all. So you're starting to worry, self-explanatory, you're panicked. And then the ultimate, you don't want to be here, is slam the meter or slam the panic button.
Yes.
And let me tell you, there's going to be a few teams that I slam the panic button for. But we'll start off with the Denver Broncos, everyone's favorite team to discuss ever since they got Russell Wilson. Where are you with these guys?
If I had a button right here, I am smashing it right through the table. Again, we touched upon it last week. We touched upon it the week before. Feels like we should just be calling this the Catch the Broncos show. Because we talk about them so much for a team that sucks so bad. But again, they look solid on Thursday night. Again, divisional game, whatever. But this team is toast. They traded first round picks like crazy for their quarterback, for their head coach. And it's a disaster in Denver. I think this is going to take a long time for this team to rebuild. So yeah, I'm slamming that button for sure.
Listen, the Broncos, you kind of get the thought process. Head coach and quarterback, that duo, that's the most important thing to have in an NFL organization, and they went all out to get it. The problem is, this might be one of the worst head coach and quarterback duos in the NFL right now. They're terrible. I'm karate chopping the slam the meter section here. I'm panicking big time. We know they're going to stink for the rest of the season. But I'm panicking big time about the future because they really got, they're so stuck right now. They got concrete feet because they can't move off these pieces that they've really given the farm for. Not a good time to be a Broncos fan. We'll stick with a team that's not much better. Maybe they're even worse, the New England Patriots.
This is the only team that the Broncos are better than. Is the New England Patriots. Again, karate chop, slam. I don't even know what you want to do. Just beat it with a hammer. The slam button is getting hammered today, just like our picks later on in this podcast. But Patriots, nothing has to be said. I said everything last week. This still stands. It's still true to this day, and it will be true for the rest of the season. They will not turn this thing around. This team is toast. I'm panicking big time.
I was going to say, I'm not even going to comment because no we comment. Said everything we needed to say last week. If you listened to last week's show, you know our thoughts on the Patriots. I lied. I am going to make one comment. Devontae Parker finally lived up to his billing as a Dolphins first-round draft pick on Sunday. Made all Dolphins fans proud. It's the one he didn't catch that left the biggest impact for the Miami Dolphins. On to the Tennessee Titans. Where are you?
I'm panicked with the Titans. Again, this is a well-coached team. A team that seems like they're very difficult to beat at home, but it's more so I'm just panicked about, like, where does this team go?
Yeah.
Right? It just feels like a very stagnant franchise. It's like there's nothing really there to root for. It's boring. They don't have anything exciting. It's just like a very, I think the perfect term is stagnant, like I just mentioned. That's what they are. It's just a boring team. I'm panicked because I don't know what the future of this team looks like. And if I was a Titans fan, I'd be I would have to dread watching the Titans, I feel like, to be honest. Like, I feel like I would wake up and be like, instead of being amped to watch football, I'd be like, oh my God, I gotta watch the Titans again.
I like that you used the word exciting. And I would love to have a Titans fan call into the show and just tell me one thing you're excited about. Just one thing on this team. It could be a player. It could be an area of your roster. And I don't think there is one.
No.
And I'm worried. I put down starting to worry for me. I didn't quite say panicked because I'm more so beginning to worry that this is a team that could be stuck in no man's land for a very long time. And I think this offseason, they're going to have to be faced with a decision that I think might be even be a little bit overdue. And that's, are we going to tear everything down and just start over from scratch? And then you're falling behind because maybe it would have been wise to do that a year ago and be involved in, you know, the Patriots, as bad as they are. Maybe they're involved in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, the Broncos, same thing, the Bears. But yeah, starting to worry for the Titans for me. We'll go on to the best team on this list, the Buffalo Bills.
I want to hear what you have to say here because I have chilling.
I do too.
You do? Okay, again, I'm not panicking about this team. I think they're still very good. Like, sure, they have their duds. Like, I just think that's who the Bills are. Like, you just know the Bills are susceptible to, like, putting up a complete dud or, like, losing to any team they play on a Sunday. But, like, they can also just turn around next week and put up 50 points on you and beat you by 30. So, like, that's what they are. And because I've come to fruition, like, I know that that's who the Bills are. I'm chilling. I just, whatever. Like, I expected what they did last Sunday, yesterday. I expected that. Even though I thought they were going to kill him, I just, in the back of my head, there's always that chance with the Bills, just like with the Cowboys. I think they're mirrored teams. I've said this all the time, but yeah, I'm chilling with the Bills.
So to me, I put down chilling, but I think it's a very dangerous quality to have if your team is just going to, you're sort of spinning the chamber every week and saying, are we going to be the best team in the NFL today, or are we going to play down to the caliber of one of the biggest embarrassments to ever grace primetime football in the New York Giants? And that's what they did. They not only did they play down to their level, they deserve to lose that game 100% yesterday. So I put down chilling because come December and January, this team could very well be red hot and be talked about as the best team in football. And I understand that. And then we'll all be laughing about a Sunday night football dud against the Giants, a game that they still found a way to win. So Bills, like, if you're panicking, like, relax, just relax. The Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys.
Wow, that's a crazy transition. You put from the Bills, the AFC Bills, to the NFC Cowboys. Like I mentioned, mirror teams, the exact same team. I'm not chilling with the Cowboys, though. I'm starting to worry just a little bit. Again, this could come back to chilling depending on what they do tonight against the Chargers. I just question the team's overall ceiling. Like I said on last week's show, I think what you saw against the Niners is sort of the reality with the Cowboys. They're a good team. They're not a great team. They're struggling. They will continue to struggle against the best teams in the league. And for that reason, they don't belong up there. So, yeah, I think starting to panic is pretty fair.
Very, very interesting. I'm going to keep chilling in there. Tonight's going to be interesting. And I know, like we said, this is Monday Night Football. We didn't want to talk about the game too much. But Mike McCarthy, if you can't outcoach Brandon Staley tonight, I might even skip starting to worry and go all the way into panic. So to me, this is going to be a very telling game for the Cowboys. We'll see how they respond. We'll see how Dak responds in prime time. But for now, I'm not going to really stress over the Cowboys at all. We'll go to the division counterparts, the New York Football Giants. I think we're going to have to remove the word football from their name because I don't know what sport they're playing recently. They're terrible. I'm slamming it. I'm not even going to ask you first. I'm just going to go right into it. This team is a disaster. They still don't have an offensive touchdown in the first half of games. What are you doing?
Yeah, that button's getting slammed. Again, I know they went toe-to-toe with the Bills last night, but it was more about the Bills just not being who the Bills are expected to be, as opposed to the Giants being good. What panicked me the most and what drove me crazy is the fact that their backup quarterbacks seem to be playing up to par with their $40 million quarterback. And I don't want to put too much on Daniel Jones because I don't think it's fair. I think the offensive line is awful. But it definitely made my eyes and it caught my attention. Like, let's put it real. Like, I saw Tyrod Taylor make some big throws, some throws that I haven't seen Daniel Jones yet make this so far this year. Now, is Daniel Jones better than Tyrod Taylor? Yeah, I think so. But it just goes to show you, again, Evan Neal continues to struggle. This is a guy that came, this was a tackle that was like a sure thing coming out of the draft from Alabama. They thought that this guy's going to be a franchise tackle for them. He just continues to struggle. You saw some frustration last night too, was when they had that goal line stuff and there was that scrap that pulled out. Like, that's pure frustration. And that in its own tells me that Brian Daboll is losing this locker room and he's losing it fast. So for that reason, I am starting to worry. I'm panicking big time. Like, I'm like you mentioned, get the hammer. There's another team that I have slam on this list.
The button's already broken.
The button's broken. Yeah. That's not making it to that team.
You say Dable's lost the locker room. I think that could be a bit of a stretch, but at the same time, the locker room that's there now better not be there in 2 years. And Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year last year. I still think, I don't think the heat is quite on, but hey, maybe next week we'll do a little coaching hot seat thing for our little game here. We got three teams left, and they're all in the same division. The Falcons, Saints, and the Panthers. We'll start off with the Atlanta Falcons. I really spent a lot of time talking about this team before the season started. I called them one of the biggest question marks going into the season. And all my questions remain unanswered. I guess maybe some of them are answered because what I feared for this team is coming to life. Desmond Ridder, another disaster class. To lose at home to the Washington Commanders is not good. What do you have to say about the Atlanta Falcons right now?
Yeah, I'm starting to worry. I'm not panicked yet because, again, I think I expected this of the Falcons. I just thought they were going to be like a whatever team. I didn't think they would necessarily be good. I didn't think they would necessarily be bad. And I think that's exactly what they are. I think they're just average. Like, they're just a team that's like, okay, they're the Falcons, right? It's like almost like the Titans in the NFC, even though they have a little bit more to root for.
I can't buy into that because I see a ceiling. I have a vision for this Falcons team where they are legitimately a top five team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, they have pieces to do that for sure. I don't think that exists with Ridder at quarterback, but this is still a team that's like has pieces, right? Like, we're talking Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, who seems to be coming to fruition finally. Arthur Smith, okay, great play caller, but like, he just hasn't been the coach that they expected him to be. And then on the defense side of the ball, like AJ Terrell, like you have players that
Jesse
like
Bates, Calais like, Campbell, right? Like they did a nice little overhaul to this defense. I know. And they look good. I've said all year, they're going to be a very good team at home. On the road, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. The offense could be one of the worst in the league, but they got this weapons group that, if used properly and if lifted properly by a good quarterback, could be one of the best in the league. Like, it's such a weird team.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Falcons fan, like, every Sunday must be a roller coaster of like anxiety and frustration, and like, I don't know, it must be tough to watch this team right now, because like I said, you know what they're capable of, but at the same time, you know you're not going to get there.
Yeah,
and that's when you start to worry.
Yeah,
and
that I think that's,
I am worried.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry.
I'm panicked with the Falcons.
Yeah,
I think they'll still end up winning like 7-8 games, but to me, that's not good enough with the talent that they have. We'll go to the Saints.
I think I'm panicked with the Saints. Again, this is a team that I think you were on board with me too. When I just saw the preseason hype that they were sort of getting, like people were acting like they were like a shoo-in to win this division, I just disagreed. I said, I don't see it. Again, I never seen it with Derek Carr. I just haven't been the biggest Derek Carr believer. I mean, Raiders fans cursed me out for years when he was the quarterback there, but I don't know. I don't see with the Saints team. I think they are capped. I think they're just like whatever. I think they're like one of those teams. Again, they're just like a very like meh team. It's like, okay, they're going to play good at home. On the road, they're like whatever. It's like, what do you even, again, it just feels like the Saints are one of those teams. I think, honestly, I take back what I said about the Falcons. The Saints are more like the Titans.
They
like,
are. They're the Titans. That's exactly what I was going to say.
They are literally the Titans.
Remember, they played them week one.
They have
one.
An aging roster, and like it's like the GM just tried to slap some things together to make it work, and instead of just like committing to a full rebuild, like they are both the exact same team.
They are the Titans, and Derek Carr, that's another contract that you worry about.
Yeah.
And it's a very under-the-radar contract, because now in the world where quarterbacks are getting 50-plus million, his deal was a little bit more modest, as crazy it is to say, but he's tied up there for a little bit now, and I don't think he's ever going to produce. I think his best days are behind him, and it's kind of sad to see, because I like Derek Carr. I think he's a great person. I think he's a great leader. He's someone that you root for, but
they don't have it out until 2026.
Again, I said the exact same thing to Titans fans, and I'll say it about the Saints. Call me and tell me one reason you're excited about this team. Maybe for the Saints, I'll give you a bit of a pass if you want to talk to me about Chris Olave. And I think the defense is still kind of good. Again, I think they'll win 7-8 games, but every single week, you don't know what to expect.
Yeah,
are they going to score 0 points, or are they going to score 25 points?
I agree.
I'm not a huge fan of the New Orleans Saints, and to lose to a young, inexperienced team like the Texans shows exactly what they're all about. Last but not least, well, kind of least, because they haven't won a game this year, the Carolina Panthers.
This is the team that I was referring to when I said the button wasn't going to be alive.
Really?
The Carolina Panthers. Yeah, I'm slamming. I'm slamming the meter for these guys. I don't know. To me, I just don't see it. I get it. It's only been 6 games with Bryce Young. I just don't see the ceiling where he's like, usually when you draft a quarterback first overall, I don't expect, again, if he's starting as a rookie, I'm not going to give him crazy high expectations. I'm not going to say like, oh, this guy's got to be immediately top 10, top 15 quarterback. But I don't know. He just doesn't have it. Like when I watch him, it just feels like, again, I don't know if it's just because he's like scrawny and he just doesn't look like a franchise quarterback. To me, it's like, and the fact that they don't have a first round pick, it's like just giving me a sour taste. I'm like, man, this could really blow up in their face. And I think, I don't want to say it's happening yet, but I have to hit it. Because the fact that they don't have that first round pick, it's blowing me over the edge. I have to slam the button.
We couldn't be on more polar opposite sides of the scale. I'm not even
You're chilling with them.
I'm chilling.
You're chilling with the Panthers.
I couldn't be.
So if you're a Panthers fan, you're worried. I'm in.
Panthers fans are probably, I mean, they're watching. They probably had higher expectations going into the season. And you know what? I'll be honest. I had high expectations for the Panthers going into the season. I didn't think that they'd be 0-6. But they've had a bit of a tough schedule. They've played some tough teams on the road. Bryce Young, yeah, he hasn't looked all that great. But I'm buying into the future of this team. And maybe it's going to take a change in the front office because I don't think they've drafted all that well. But when I say I'm buying into the future of this team, I'm more so buying into the future of Bryce Young. I think it's just incredibly too early to have any reservations about his play. And I was someone that you always say I have diamond hands, and there's no better example of that than the career of Tua. And I think if there's a pro comp for Bryce Young, it's Tua.
Wow.
I don't think he was as good of a prospect. And no, I know Tua was fifth overall and Bryce Young was first overall. But I think there is someone out there that can find Bryce Young's superpower and they can build a pretty good offense around it. And he made some throws against Miami that made me say, like, you know what? In 3 years, when this guy's more comfortable in the NFL and it doesn't feel like the pocket is caving in on him every single play, I think he can be a pretty good player. I'm holding out on Bryce Young. I believe in him. And if anything, I'm excited for the future of the Carolina Panthers. I'm not panicking at all.
Wow. So we are on the polar opposites.
I think.
But I'm known to be like, okay, I'm sometimes I'm here and then sometimes I'm there. But like sometimes when I feel strongly on about something, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being a little cocky. I tend to be a little right here. I don't know. I just feel there's just something about it. It just feels off. And it feels like if I were to step up, I know this is not a baseball podcast, but if I were to step up in the World Series, bottom of the ninth, and the guy's in third, I'm striking out for sure. It just feels like the Panthers, like you should have pinched hit for me. You put your faith in me. I struck out. It's like the Panthers just should have maybe taken CJ Stroud or like Anthony Richardson. And like bet on like the upside there, because I think it gives your team a higher ceiling as opposed to what Bryce Young does. Who knows? I hope I'm wrong, because again, I have a lot of Carolina Panthers fans. I have three of my buddies are Carolina.
That's a
Panthers,
lot,
which
in,
is a lot
in Toronto. Like, can't you know? Like,
right? You don't really see
fan of a different team, which is honestly, like, to me, the best part about being a football fan from Canada. You don't have a hometown, so everyone has their own team.
It's
for
just
their own reason.
Oh, and then you're like going back and forth with your group of buddies, and there's like, let's say there's 10 guys in your group. There's like a good shot that there's seven different teams that are in that
that's
group,
awesome.
Which makes it so fun because people gang up on you and whatever. Yeah, but like you mentioned, there's no hometown, but three Carolina Panthers fans is definitely rare to know where we are from, at least. But again, I hope I'm wrong. I like Bryce Young as a person. I think he's awesome. I think he deserves success. Will that come? I guess you said 3 years. I think that's a little bit too long to, like, you should know sooner.
That's what we saw with Tua.
You're right. That's fine.
Year three,
we're fine.
He was...
We'll reconvene next year around this time and see if maybe we want to extend the lease for another year. We'll figure it out.
All right. I look forward to having that conversation. Truly do. Like I said, rooting for Bryce Young. We'll see how he does. I won't be betting on him this week, though. We'll move on to our locks, powered by our friends over at PointsBet. Make sure to use code BLITZ when signing up. I was 1-1 last week. You were
1-0.
I'm with a chance to be 2-0 tonight on Monday Night Football.
I hope I go 1-1.
So I'm 7-5. On the season, you are 7-4. You could pass me depending on tonight. Solid. Honestly, we've been pretty good.
Yeah, I've been solid.
We've
profitable.
Been pretty good. You got a winning record. You can't complain. Your locks have been very good. You had another positive week with that. I'll go first. I do have the first pick this week. I'm very, very tempted to take my Miami Dolphins, as I've seen that line has already moved since it opened, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
Coming off the bye, this is a young team. This is a team that has not looked good at all in recent weeks. They got blown out against the Lions at home. Pretty rough showing on Monday Night Football on the road. They're going on the road again, but they're playing the Denver Broncos. The line is -1, so it's a pick 'em. give me Jordan Love in a bounce back spot to outdoor Russell Wilson and get this Packers team back in the NFC wildcard race. That's my pick.
I don't mind that. It's not definitely not one of my favorite picks of the week, but I'm going to go ahead and take your Miami Dolphins. Again, I told everyone before the lines even came out that I was hammering the Dolphins. This was getting nuked. I used the term nuke. I am nuking this line no matter what it is. I had no idea what it was.
It was no three. Idea. It was three for the Eagles. Now it's 1.5.
Now it's 1.5. I'm still nuking it. I'm taking the Dolphins. I think they're going to win outright. I think they're going to win comfortably. I think this is a much better team than what the current Philadelphia Eagles look like. Give me the Dolphins +1.5.
I would be on board if the Eagles had won, but the fact that they lost,
now they're in
that
a bounce back
scares
spot.
Me because yes. I think they're in this weird bounce back spot. They're wearing, I don't know if you know this, they're wearing the Kelly Green uniforms. So I knew that since the schedule came out and I said the Eagles are going to win this game by 50 points when I found out that those are the uniforms that they're going to be wearing. But if the Dolphins wear their throwbacks, then they'll win by 50 points. So it depends what the Dolphins do. My second pick, the Lions are one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. They're also one of the best teams at covering the spread in the Dan Campbell era. They got about a 70% clip rate. So give me them +3 versus the Ravens. It's just a nice spot. Jared Goff is just so money in the betting world and on the field. He's been amazing. That's my second pick. Lock it in. Lions +3 versus the Ravens, powered by PointsBet.
I'm going to go with the Bucks -2.5. My final pick. Look, this is a pretty good team, man. Like, I know they're coming off a loss against the Detroit Lions, which is why I like them even more in this spot. I'm going to take them 2.5. Again, people thought they were going to take a sort of a backseat role and be one of the worst teams in the league now that Brady left. But let's be honest here. Like, Brady last year was doing more bad than good, it felt like, at times. So they're a younger team. Baker Mayfield feels is poised. He's playing with something to prove. I like this Bucks team, and I think giving them a -2.5 this week, I'm feeling pretty confident with that pick. So, again, those are our picks. Brought to you by PointsBet. Use code Blitz at checkout, or when you're signing up. Not checkout, it's not a store, but use code Blitz when you're signing up at PointsBet. Great, great sports book. And again, if you want to tail us, you're smart. If you want to fade us, don't recommend that. Maybe fade Pac, not me, but
I have a winning. I have the same record as you. Trust me, the Cowboys are going to win tonight. I have the same record as you, so I don't know why you're laughing over there. We'll move over to fantasy. Our good friends over at Did It. Make sure to check out the Did It app as they do sponsor our start sits of the week, which have been pretty red hot.
Very good.
I had a bit of a miss this week, but you were on Jordan Addison. He had a big game. Who are you starting? Who's your must start in every lineup this week?
I think I'm going with Roschon Johnson this week. Look, I know you mentioned him a couple weeks ago. It was a sort of a swing and a miss.
It was.
But I feel like this is the week that Roschon Johnson breaks out. No Khalil Herbert, no Justin Fields. So it seems like he's going to be the eye of the rushing attack for the Bears. I like the matchup. I think he's going to make the most of it. I'm going with Roschon Johnson. I feel like he's a great fill-in for those guys that are on bye.
I got a running back as well. Brian Robinson Jr., he started the season so red hot, and he's had about two or three straight weeks where he's just been a dud. This is the perfect time to buy low on this guy because the backfield is still his. Antonio Gibson has little to zero usage, and Sam Howell's starting to use Brian Robinson in the receiving game. He's got a nose for the end zone, and I just think this Commanders team is an offense that's going to continue to get better as the year goes on. You want to own someone who owns the backfield in an offense like that. Get Brian Robinson in your lineup.
I like Brian Robinson this week, too. I was actually debating putting him over Roschon. My sit is going to be with Jonathan Taylor again. I'm going to grow with Jonathan Taylor again. He had a solid week. I still don't like what I see from the backfield split perspective. I think Zach Moss is still using, still eating too much of his role, which I think is going to fall back to Jonathan Taylor's favor eventually. But I'm willing to sit him until that does happen. So if I have better options on my bench, I'm going to roll them out over Jonathan Taylor. Again, tough matchup with the Browns defense. I'm going to sort of kick the can down the road with Jonathan Taylor. I think he's going to be a fantastic player later. But right now, I'm still fine sitting him.
I got a bit of a controversial one to close. I'm changing this from sit him to trade him. Kyle Pitts, Ooh. Sell now while you have even a glimmer of value. I am still not fooled. And it all starts with Desmond Ridder. You know, maybe if he gets miraculously moved to an offense with a better quarterback, yes, I'd be all over this guy. But I'd sit him this week. And before you even get to that, I would try to trade Kyle Pitts because his value is never going to be higher after, you know, once in a blue moon event of him getting a touchdown. Trade him now. Convince your league mates that he's back, because let's be honest, he's more than likely not, which is sad with Kyle Pitts. But that's the start sit this week, powered by our friends over at Did It. If you need fantasy advice, make sure to download the app and connect with their experts and analysts. This guy over here is on the app. I don't know how that's possible.
Because I only win fantasy leagues, and you would too. If you download the Did It app, it's free. First call is free. I'm available there. I'm online all the time. You can FaceTime me. You can send me a message. I will help you out more than gladly. Again, get the edge on your league mates. Keep it tight, but also tell some people about it. Because, you know, you want to be, we're in the giving mood. It's almost Christmas. It's almost Thanksgiving for you guys. But yeah, that wraps it up for this week. Again, a fantastic week. Let's hope the Cowboys win tonight. I know everyone's cheering for the Cowboys out there. Go Cowboys, go. And we'll see you guys all next week.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.